السلام علیکم ورحمت اللہ وبرکاتہ نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي الم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي انقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فان مع العسر يسرا ان مع العسر يسرا فاذا فرغت فانصب والى ربك فارغب قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد قل ان كان اباؤكم وابناؤكم واخوانكم وازواجكم وعشيرتكم واموال اقترفتموها وتجاره تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها احب اليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى ياتي الله بامره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد واله My noble audience, today will be a continuation of the discussion that we commenced last week. Indeed, we find that many human beings throughout the world are being tried out, tested by Allah Almighty. And most of the people that are being tested right now are believers. And as we all know that believers are like one body. So when we are informed about the conditions of Muslim brothers and sisters that are suffering, it has a very profound impact upon us. And many a times we do not know how to respond. Nowadays we see that throughout different masajid, there are campaigns, there are organizations that are collecting funds to address the need of the distressed ones. I made mention last week that if we visualize and depict the people that are being tried and tested by Allah Almighty in a fort, and I want you to visualize this because this is the basis of my discussion today. So we visualize that the people that are being tested by Allah Almighty are in a fort. And there are many doors that lead to this fort. There are some that are small and there are some that are large. There are some that are small and there are some that are large. Basically, providing funds for the people that are in need is one of the doors of many doors. But this is not the major door. This is not the main door. And we need to get to our brothers and sisters that are being tested, not only through the smaller doors, but we need to get to them through the major door, the main door. I made mention of the understanding of Sahaba when they observed Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that they came to this understanding that the Nabi of Allah was mutawasil al ahzan, and this is throughout 23 years. Mutawasil al ahzan, da'im al fikra. He was grief stricken, and da'im al fikra, always in contemplation. And it doesn't matter if this is after the loss of Uhud or after the victory of Badr. He was always in fikr. He was always thinking. His mind never stopped from the first time he received revelation. And basically this feeling that he had for the entire world was the reason why a mighty revolution took place in only 23 years. And the question that I posed before I concluded my discussion, and the question was addressed to me first, and then to my noble brothers and sisters, that indeed we give and we speak and we discuss the dynamics of the world and the politics that is being played, but do we have that feeling? Is that feeling disturbing us? Is that feeling allowing us to come out of our comfort zone in the night, coming out of our comfort zone in the day. Are we sending something to our brothers and sisters that are in trouble through the different doors? Or do we only think that there's only one door through which we can help them, and that is the door of funds and money? This was the question. And I left this question with myself and to all the brothers and sisters that were listening. And I hope that people have deliberated and contemplated over this question. Now, I made mention that we need to have a role model. We need to have a role model that was tested in his life, a role model that was placed in the theater of destitution, and at the same time placed in the theater of prosperity. We need a role model that we can look up to and we can find the answers to the problems that we are facing. And basically, that complete role model is Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I said that Rabiul Awwal is the month in which people study the life of the Nabi of Allah. They speak about him. And basically, by speaking about him, we try to develop a greater muhabba for him. Because muhabba is the strongest ingredient that allows us to respect the model that Allah Almighty sent in the form of Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are going to learn a lesson from his life, and we're going to try to apply that right now to the test where we find ourselves. If we study the first battle that is known as the Battle of Badr, this is the first battle. Indeed, it was a testing time not only for Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it was a testing time for the Sahaba, the entire group. And the group was very, very small. It was not a mighty group in terms of number. In terms of spirituality, indeed it was mighty, but in terms of number, it was very, very small. Basically, the understanding by the historians is 313 more or less. So when Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam camped at the grounds of Badr, he looked at his group, and this is basically the produce of 15 years of continuous effort. 13 years in Mecca and 2 years in Medina. So the entire endeavor passes through you, passes in front of you. All the tribulations that the Nabi of Allah endured, all the pain that was inflicted, that was endured by the Sahaba for 13 long years. So all that is passing through the mind of the Nabi of Allah and the Sahaba. And now when he looks at the opposition, he finds that there's 1,000 people well equipped. So indeed, this world has been established upon the principle of cause and effect. So there are resources in this dunya. There are resources that people have. Many a times they use it productively, and many a times they use it destructively. So the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is looking at the opposition that has come to challenge them, and he finds that they are 1,000 in number and they are well equipped. He looks at his followers, they are 313, one third of 1,000, and they are not equipped. So what did the Nabi of Allah do? This was the time when the Nabi of Allah, if we call it, it was a time of destitution in terms of resources. Not spirituality, in terms of resources. Can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. How are we going to pass in this test? How are my brothers and sisters on the other side of the world going to pass in their test? Basically, this is the question. When is this going to end? When are we going to see the light at the end of the tunnel? That's the question that everyone is asking. So what did the Nabi of Allah do? And I touched upon this at a very superficial level last week. At a very superficial level. The Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went into his camp. He went into his camp. Now if we study the seerah of the Nabi of Allah and the preceding events to the Battle of Badr, basically the historians make mention that the Nabi of Allah was promised by Allah victory. He was promised that victory is yours. So he didn't have to do anything. He could have just sat there and allowed the future to unfold that will basically favor him in the form of victory. But no, he didn't do that. He knew victory was coming his way. But at the same time, he knew that Allah is rich, free from want. Surah Fatir, Surah number 35, verse number 15 and 16. And I would like you to go back and study this ayat. Surah 35, verse 15 and 16. Ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara ilallah. O mankind, you are faqir. You are destitute. You are in need of your Allah. Wallahu huwal ghani. Allah is the one that is rich. Allah ko hamari zarurat nahi hai. Na hamari ibadat ki zarurat. Allah is rich. Wallahu huwal ghani. He is ghani. Not only ghani, ghaniyul hamid. He is worthy of praise. You always need to praise Him, glorify Him, speak about Him. This is your duty. Allah is rich. He gives Alhamdulillah. He doesn't give Alhamdulillah. He places you in the theater of bliss, Alhamdulillah. He doesn't place you in the theater of bliss, still Alhamdulillah. Hum kuch kar nahi sakte. We can't do anything. This is the decision of Allah Almighty. إِنْ يَشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ وَيَأْتِ بِآخَرِينَ. If Allah wants, Allah can remove you and replace you with a new generation. Allahu samad, Allah is independent. No one can challenge Him. But we study the life of our Nabi of Allah and we find that he was placed in different theaters. And basically we need to learn how he responded in these different theaters. By becoming emotional and stressed out is not the hal, it is not the solution. The solution is in the life of the Nabi of Allah. So right now the Nabi of Allah, if we can say it in simple English, he hit a brick wall. What do I do? Straight into the camp. And he starts to make this dua. And that's why I touched upon dua last week. He started to make dua. He says, Ya Allah, Allahumma anjizli ma wa'attani. Allahumma in tahlik hadhihi al-isaba min ahli al-islam la tu'bad fil ardi abada. This is a dua that he's making. Now this is a capture of one, you can say, paragraph of that dua. That Ya Allah, fulfill the promise that you have made, that you will give me victory. How victory comes, I do not know. What is the design of that victory? I am not aware of that. Basically at the truce of Hudaybiyah, Sulh Hudaybiyah, Allah says, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. I have given you clear victory. But apparently it seemed like it was no victory. So Allah has a different design of a victory. So the Nabi of Allah is saying, Ya Allah, fulfill your promise. And then Allah's Nabi says, Allahumma in tahlik hadhihi al-isaba min ahli al-islam. That Ya Allah, if this group of 313 is destroyed today, killed today, they attain martyrdom today, la tu'bad fil ardi abada. There will be no one that will worship you. Now the Nabi of Allah goes into another level of dua, crying profusely. Now, I would like to halt, pause at this moment and give you an example so you can understand. The child has made a mistake. So the father is very, very upset. So the mother has intervened. She said, Bachche ko maaf kar do. Forgive him. He made a mistake. But the father is adamant. He's not going to forgive the child. Then by chance, the best friend of the father is visiting. He comes to the house, they sit down, the wife is starting to make chai, tea. So he's talking with his friend and this child enters. And he drops into the feet of the father. And he starts to cry. Now the friend knows the temperament, the mizaj of his friend. So he doesn't intervene because he knows he's very, very adamant. He's not going to forgive the child. So let him cry. But now the child is crying in such a way that even the heart of the friend is starting to melt, soften. He looks at the child and says, I've never seen anyone cry like this. I've never seen anyone cry like this. The child keeps crying. So now the friend, he intervenes. He says, look, I know you. You're my best friend. I know that you don't want to forgive him, but look at this child. Look how he's crying. That's enough. You can't be that brutal. You can't be that hard. Forgive him right now. Happens? It's happened a few times in our life as well. That even the friend, you say, no, baskaro. No, that's enough. Please, I'm begging you, forgive him. Because he seems like he's very, very sincere. And now the father, he softens up as well and he forgives him. Now the Nabi of Allah is making a dua. Knowing that he has been promised victory, he's still making dua. Because Allah is Ghaniyul Hamid. He's worthy of praise. He's making dua. This is what we do. He's making dua. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq is standing outside. Keep the example in mind, friend. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq comes inside. This hadith is of Muslim. He comes inside and he finds that the shawl that was covering the Mubarak body of the Nabi of Allah had dropped to the ground. So the Nabi of Allah is making dua and the shawl has dropped to the ground. He is unaware that the shawl has dropped to the ground. You know, sometimes the topi falls, the kubba'a falls, we put it back on. Something, tasbih falls, we pick it up and put it there because we still know our environment. The Nabi of Allah is so entrenched in this dua, so entrenched, immersed in this dua that the shawl falls and he is unaware. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq comes, he picks up the shawl. He places it on the Mubarak body of the Nabi of Allah and places himself on the back of the Nabi of Allah and says, Ya Rasulullah, hasbuk, bas kafiya, hasbuk, this is enough. Faqad alhahta ala rabbik, you have made your supplication, it is accepted. Meaning that the dua should be of such intensity that the observer knows that the dua is accepted. This is the point I'm trying to make. That the observer looks at the person making at the dua and he says, this dua is accepted. Forget about you feeling that it is accepted or not. This is the riwayat of Muslim. The riwayat of Bukhari is that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq came inside and he held the hand of the Nabi of Allah. In Muslim, he picked up the shawl and then he grabbed the Nabi of Allah and said, Bas, Ya Rasulullah, that's enough. Your dua is accepted. It has knocked on the door of Allah's divine court. It has been accepted. But in the riwayat of Bukhari, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq came in. He could not endure the condition of the Nabi of Allah. Profusely crying, he held the hand of the Nabi of Allah, broke the dua. He said, Bas kare, that's it. Your dua is accepted. And then immediately after that, the Nabi of Allah finds the reward of his dua in the revelation, istastaskhithuna rabbakum fastajaba lakum anni mumiddukum bi'alfin minal malaikati murdifin, where Allah promises that the angels will descend to assist you. Question to me, to you, where is that dua? Where is that dua for our brothers and sisters? Jab tak wo dua nahi aayegi na, to madad bhi nahi aayegi. If the best of the best, the Nabi of Allah, had to make this dua for the doors to open of victory that were promised to him prior to even making this dua, what about the condition of the entire Muslim world? Indeed, we are going to collect today. I'm not saying that we should become stingy and we should not give. We should give. But this is only one door. The channel of giving is that before we give, we connect with Allah. Then we give. We are giving and we are discharging, exonerating ourselves from the responsibility of dua. And then we make a superficial dua, where there is no emotion, where there is no feeling, where there is no tears. There has to be a very strong dua made individually. You think about it. Let's say there's 300 people sitting here, upstairs, downstairs. And we make a dua like this for our brothers and sisters across the world, you know, on the other side of the world. We make a dua of this intensity. Do you think it's going to go to a waste? Dua hi nahi kar rahe. All organizations collecting funds, alhamdulillah. But this is only one door. The main door is the ta'alluq with Allah. Now the Nabi of Allah says, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَادِهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ وَتَعَاتُفِهِمْ مَثَلُ الْجَسَدِ. The hadith of Muslim reported by Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. So the believers are in their mutual love, mercy, sympathy are like a human body, one body. When one human body or one human part is afflicted, the entire body responds. What is our response? What is our response? Now let's reverse this and let's untie this statement of the Nabi of Allah. We start from Mathalul Mu'mineen. The example of believers is in their mutual love, in their mutual mercy and sympathy, that they are like one body. That if one body part is afflicted, the entire body responds. Now how are we responding? If we are not responding, that means that the first part, that we are not believers in the true sense. There is some deficiency in our belief that is not allowing us to respond positively. And I gave the example of Muhammad bin Qasim last week, that he could not sleep throughout the entire journey because his sister asked the Khalif, the ruler, to assist them. It liberated them from the tyranny of Raja Dahir. I will say to my noble brothers, indeed give. Give with generosity, this is one door. But before giving, connect. The Nabi of Allah connected with Allah and then he utilized the resources. He utilized the resources. We know, it is our aqeedah, it is our belief, that the resources that are available to us are dummies. It's our aqeedah. They are dummies. They are nothing. It is Allah the one that controls these resources. We need to ask Allah that the funds that we are collecting and the efforts that we are making, Ya Allah, they are a true, complete package that will salvage our brothers and sisters from the brutality that they are experiencing. Now I say that the brothers of Brisbane, for example, we are one body. Let's say the brothers of Syria, the brothers of Burma, are the stomach of that human body. And we are the mouth. What are we placing in the mouth? Every person that is not from Burma, and every person that is not from Syria, and every person that is not from that tested theater, is basically the mouth. What are we placing in the stomach? What are my deeds? My deeds is a package that goes into the stomach. So basically we may be improving the situation, or we may be the reason why the situation is not improving. I neglect my salah, the entire human body is affected. My brothers and sisters on the other side may be affected because of what I am doing here. I need to reform myself. Reform ourselves, be the best. And there's no better time than right now, the holiday time, where you can sit down, deliberate and think, what package am I giving to that Muslim human body? I'm giving wealth, alright, that's one, that's a package. But my negligence to the orders of Allah Almighty may rub off on the wrong side. It may impact upon the stomach in a different manner, in a different style. My address, the conclusion, we've run out of time, is give with generosity today. But each night, like I said last week, we need to dedicate some of our precious time for the package of tears for our brothers and sisters. If that intensity is not there, we are hypocritical. It's just lip service, speaking about the trauma, the tragedy, but not really being involved from the heart. The heart has to be involved. I would like to ask my brothers, sisters downstairs, do you agree with what I said? Does it make sense? So inshallah, from tonight, we will sacrifice some portion of the night so we can address the disease of the stomach. The stomach is in pain. We need to change the diet. We need to change the ingredients. So basically what we are doing is not right now. So there are certain things that we have to abstain from. When you go to the doctor says, you can't eat these foods. Start to take these foods that you don't like. That's what he says. And after a couple of weeks, you'll be okay. There are certain things that we like, we have to remove them. The sweet, no good. What is sweet to the eyes, what is sweet to the lust and the desire, we have to remove them. It's not good for the stomach. And those things that are apparently bitter, we have to start to take them. Waking up at night is bitter. We don't want to wake up. We want to sleep through it. We have to take that. That is the medicine. And basically, if we all do this and this message spreads like wildfire, you will see that Allah will change the ahwal. Allah ke liye kuch nahi. It is nothing. Reform yourself. Start to prepare a package, design a package that you believe that will benefit you and basically benefit your brothers and sisters that are a part of you. And inshallah you will see that in no time, in quick time, the ahwal will change. Allah is qadir upon everything. Allah Rabbul Izzah give us tawfiq. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.